Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
And Lord, as we turn our attention now to your word, would you speak to us? Would you direct our hearts closer to the people that you've called us to be? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as you know, we're going through the names of Jesus. We have one of the I am statements of Jesus tonight. Does anybody know any of the I am statements? Anybody? I am the way, Son of God, bread of life. What else?
The light, the door. What else? Good shepherd. The resurrection and the life. I am the truth and the life. And tonight we're going to talk about I am the vine,
the vine. So tonight we are going to listen and mention to this idea that Jesus is the vine. Now here's the thing. Jesus is about, he's going to leave his disciples at some point to the point where they will not see him physically anymore. Can you imagine following somebody your entire life or your entire Christian life? And you love them and you care about them and they've taught you so much. And then they tell you one day, I'm moving to Tennessee. I'm not gonna be here for you to follow me any longer. Your heart would be broken, would it not? And especially, think about this, you're Jesus, the Son of God. And this mentor that you've had is said to you, at some point, he's gonna be gone. What would you think immediately? What are we going to do? How are we going to go on without you, Jesus? How are we going to survive? Are we even going to know what we're supposed to say and do? I mean, we've watched you for a while, but quite frankly, I'm a little scared. So Jesus says to them, John chapter 15, verse 1, he says this. Let me give you a picture, an image that you'll always remember. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Lord, would you just be with us tonight as we look at this picture analogy that you gave us so that we would remember who we are to be in you. So that we remember that even though sometimes it can feel like you're far off, Lord, you're actually so close to us, each and every one of us tonight. So, Lord, would you speak that into us tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. What's the picture? What's the image? It's of this. It's of a vine. And there's three different people that he mentions in it. The first one is himself. Jesus says what? I am the true vine. I love that. Somebody caught this. I'm not just the vine. I am the true vine. In other words, I am right here coming out of the dirt. I am leading up into the sky, and I am where you are going to get your nutrients from. You need me because I am the true vine. Now, multiple times in the Old Testament, Israel is called the vine. And oftentimes, and here's why they were called the vine, is because God was using Israel on the face of the earth to represent him. You're the vine by which other people will come to know me. I will bless other people through Israel. And then there's this moment where God says, you know what? Actually, Israel, you've turned your back on me. And Jesus comes and Jesus says this comment right here, John 15, 1. He says, I am the true vine. I'm the one now who God is going to use to bless the nations, to make a new covenant with. The old covenant we've been studying on Sunday is becoming, what is the word you remember? Obsolete and fading away. The new covenant is here. Jesus is the new covenant. So Jesus comes and he says, I am the true vine, the one that God is using, my Father is using, to bless the nations. Who's the second person in our picture? Do you see? Do you see who the second person is? He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the what? The vine dresser. He's the farmer, right? He's the farmer. He's the one that's going to take care of the vine and the branches. He's the one that's out. He's going to prune. He's going to take care of the vine. And whatever comes off of that vine, That's what the Father is going to do. He is the vine dresser. Who's the third person in here? Who is it? The branches. And did you notice that there's two different kinds of branches? What are the two different kinds of branches that we see in our text here tonight? Fruit-bearing branches and what? Non-fruit-bearing branches. You mean at some point, if one of these branches becomes disconnected from the vine, it will stop bearing fruit? And on the other side of that, as it stays connected to the vine, what happens? This isn't fruit, but it produces. This particular vine is going to produce flowers. So here's the idea here that he's saying is that the nutrients needed to produce fruit comes through staying connected to what? The vine, the true vine. So the question then he will ask his people is, are you staying connected to the vine? Disciples, that day that you start to panic because I'm not physically with you any longer, ask yourself the question, are you staying connected to me? Because that fear will dissipate the more you stay connected to the vine, to the true vine in Jesus. What does he say that he does to those, in fact, who stay connected to the vine? What's he going to do? Over time, there's going to be growth in that vine. And what's he say he's going to do with that vine? What does the vine dresser do? For those that stay connected, what does he do? He prunes. He prunes. He cuts away the unnecessary things in order to do what? Do you know? To bear more fruit. That's exactly right. He prunes in order that there may be more fruit on the vine. Now, on the branches. Now, Romans 8:27 says this. Listen to this. Romans 8:27 says, now he searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He looks inside. Think about this. He looks inside. He sees what you and I need, so he knows how to prune. He knows us so deeply and intimately, so he knows how to prune us. And then it says in verse 28, and we know that all things work, what? Together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. You mean he's pruning me? He's pruning me for the good of me and for his kingdom work. And that, by the way, is given to those people who are connected to the vine. One more, listen to what it says. Speaking of the discipline that we have of parents. Anybody have any parents? Any parents? Any parents? Do you ever discipline your kids? Yeah, we do that. I discipline my kids, but I do it out of love because I love them, right? It's true, we do. But listen to what God says. Hebrews 12:10, talking initially of discipline of parents. For they indeed for a few days chastened us, parents did, as seemed best to them. But he, God, for our profit. Interesting. God disciplines us, prunes us for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Huh. That's interesting. You mean God prunes us so that we can partake in a relationship with him and partake of his holiness. Anybody ever feeling the pruning hand of God? Listen, the discipline of God upon your life, don't reject that. Say, oh, you're actually calling me deeper into relationship with you and to understand you more. Listen to what else he says. Now, no chastening seems joyful for the present. In other words, we don't like discipline. No one does. Your kids don't. My kids don't. He says, no one loves that, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, listen now, listen. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. In other words, God's saying, come here. Stay connected to my vine, the true vine, and there are going to be moments where I get my shears out, and I'm going to prune you, Jeff, but don't go away from it. Don't run away from it. Step into it, because what I'm producing in you is righteousness, so that you will come and experience me more and more and more in your life. And, listen, those prunings will produce more fruit because what I'm doing is cutting away the things in your life that ought not be there. I'm cutting away the things in your life so you will grow and mature. We should be asking, Lord, do you need to prune me? Lord, prune me. Now, the recap. True vine, that's Jesus. Farmer, vine dresser, God the Father. Branches, two kinds. Am I bearing fruit? Am I growing? Am I connected to the vine? And those that are not bearing fruit. He moves on. Again, remember, talking to his disciples. He says, you are, this is verse 3, already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Now here's his exhortation. I'm going to be going. Remember, you're not going to see me forever. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Listen, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now listen to what he says here. He says, you are already clean. In other words, he's talking to disciples, and that word clean there can also mean, guess what? Pruned. You've already been pruned. You're being pruned. You've already been clean. You're connected to me as my disciples. How did they get pruned? This is so critical. How did those disciples get pruned? Well, it says right here in our text, you are already clean. Here's why. Because of the word which I have spoken to you. You have been pruned. You are made clean because of the words that Jesus has spoken to them. Listen, God uses his word. Listen, so important. God uses his word to speak into our lives in order to prune us and grow fruit out of us. What does that mean about his word? We gotta be next to it. We got to be near it all the time. Lord, if you're saying, if I hear you correctly, the disciples were made clean, pruned by your word, then I need to be in your word and around your word by your spirit. That's right, Mike, every day. I got to be around it because if I believe you want to produce in me fruit, and one of the ways that you prune me is by and produce fruit is by your word, then I need to be near your word. And so his exhortation to them is this. Listen, here's what I want you to do. Abide in me. Abide in me. Stay connected to me. John 15:9 says this, as the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. Now here's how we abide in Christ. Listen, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So you might be asking, well, how do I abide in Christ? I think there's a couple ways, but the clearest way here in our same text in John 15:9 says, be obedient to me. Follow after me. You know, if we say, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, then our actions should demonstrate that we're connected to Jesus. If he's the true vine and we're branches coming off that vine, then we should resemble him. If we're saying, hey, I love the Lord, then the actions of our heart, the footsteps we take, should be abiding in Christ. And I think that's what he's saying here. He says, if you are going to follow me and be my disciple, those moments of, where are you, Jesus? Where are you? Are going to come. But I will just tell you, abide in me. Follow after me. Here's why we abide. Verse 4, as the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The branch needs the vine. How many of you need Jesus in your life? Right? I mean, there's the, oh, I need Jesus, right? I need Jesus. But there's the, I need Jesus in my life. I need him in my family's life. I need him at work. I need him when I drive. I need him in those moments of panic and worry. Literally, I think the genuine nature of my heart just knows that I need Jesus. And you feel it, don't you? When you have those times or those spells where you're not next to him, where the word of God is not pruning me, where it feels like, man, I need to go back to Jesus again. And maybe tonight you're that person who's feeling it and you've been wondering why. I thought it was just church attendance. I thought I was just going because that's what I'm supposed to do. But in reality, there's another whole level of needing Jesus, staying connected to the vine. Because you're a branch. I'm a branch. And I need the vine, the true vine, in order for me to have nutrients and vitality. It says, listen, abide in me and listen to what he says. And I in you. It's a two-way street. You come, Jeff, and connect onto me. And when you come connect on me, I come and live in you. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but what? Christ who lives where? In me. I'm telling you, the Christian life cannot be lived apart from this truth and this reality. Us abiding in Christ, him taking residence up within us. Colossians 1:27. To whom God willed to make known all the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles. Here it is, ready? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We don't have to go any further than this right here. Christ dwelling in us. He's the true vine. We're the branch that's connected. And listen, he says, let me come take residence up in you. Let me just say, maybe, I'm not saying this is you, but maybe it's you. Maybe the church attendance is great, or we come every once in a while. But the reality is, he's saying, I want to be your Lord and Savior of your life. And I don't know if you've made that commitment before in your life to where you've said, I'm all the way in, Jesus. Come take residence up within me. I want to be connected to the vine. I'm missing the vitality and the nutrients that comes from a true relationship with Jesus. And Jesus is telling his disciples, when those moments come and you don't see me anymore, make sure you stay connected to me, the true vine. Verse 6, he says this, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, that branch looks like this. It's dead, and I have some of these on my vine at home. And it's crusty. It's lacking nutrients. There's a bunch of green branches around this one. This one is dead and gone. And the best thing for this one is for me to toss it in the trash bin. Back in the day, they would just burn them. Because there's no purpose for this. At some point, and actually you can see it, this branch became disconnected from the vine. And it looks dead. And quite frankly, and maybe some of you have felt this way before in your walk with the Lord. Maybe there's a moment in your life where you could say, it's dead. And it might not look like it on the outside. But Jeff, this vine defines my inside. It's dead. And it shouldn't be a surprise because the Bible's telling us when you stay connected to the vine, you're going to produce fruit. And in this particular case, he's saying, be careful if you become disconnected because it's going to be death, spiritual death. No fruit. Not fruit bearing at all. In fact, Ezekiel 15:6 says this, referring to this, I believe Jesus is making mention of this. Ezekiel 15:6 is this. Therefore, thus says the Lord, like the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give up the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Take that in for a second. Speaking of his own people. So will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will set my face against them. They will go out from one fire, but another fire shall devour them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. Thus I will make the land desolate. And listen, here's why. Because they have persisted in unfaithfulness, says the Lord God. He's saying, listen, your faithfulness, my obedience is critical for me to stay connected to the vine. And if we begin to feel dead, I would say maybe because we're not connecting ourselves to the vine. And maybe tonight, maybe you would say, I've actually never even connected to the vine before. I've been maybe doing church all my life, but I've never understood the idea of becoming connected to Jesus in the way that you're talking about tonight, in the way John chapter 15 in Scripture talks about tonight. And I want to be a fruit bearer. I want to bear fruit for the Lord, value and vitality into my life. Let's close with verse 7. Here's what it says. If you abide in me, and my word, here we are again, and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done. By this my Father is glorified, that you, listen, bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Jesus is saying, this is not outside the norm, this is the norm. That you abide in me and I abide in you. And what's going to happen is that you are going to begin to bear fruit. You can't help it. In fact, this flower didn't wake up and say, I'm going to try really hard to bear fruit. I want to bear fruit. It just did it naturally. Why? Well, I can tell you, you can't see it, but it's connected to the vine and it's getting nutrients from the vine. And it just came out and is sprouting. Without any effort of its own. And the same is true, I believe, of us. That in fact, if we are connecting ourselves to Jesus on a regular basis, what's going to happen is we will start to bear fruit. It's going to come out of us. And fruit could be several different things in this moment. But one is certainly is more disciples being made. Another one would be relationship and obedience, fruitful obedience to Jesus. Another one would be the fruits of the Spirit. I will just tell you, one of those things will be joy. And I know that because just a little bit down from the passage, as he's still talking to his disciples, this is what he says, John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you. Which things? About staying connected to me, about abiding in me. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that, listen, your joy may be full. You mean my joy in this life is directly connected with bearing fruit and directly connected with staying connected to Jesus? 100%. He says, I've said these things to you that you would bear fruit and that your joy would be complete. Now tonight, I believe God does amazing things. And maybe tonight you've come and you've heard this for the first time. And maybe you thought all along, well, I'm a Christian. But listen, the things that you're describing doesn't describe me. I don't feel like I'm connected to Jesus or to a vine. And it, quite frankly, Jeff, there's more often than not, I feel like this vine, dead, not producing anything. And maybe tonight would be that night where you would say, oh, I feel like the Lord's working on me, that he's calling me to take that step of faith forward. And I will just tell you, praise God for that. And I could attest to this. You're sitting around a bunch of people who would say, yeah, I remember being looking like that vine, the old dead vine. And then I remember receiving Jesus and him taking residence up on me. And now my life is completely different. Can I get an amen from somebody who said that? Completely different. And tonight, we want to invite you to take that step of faith forward where you would say, yeah, I'm ready to start following after Jesus. I'm ready to give my life to him and that man, I want to be connected to the Jesus and I want to sense and feel that joy that he's talking about. Well, if we could do this, everyone just close your eyes tonight. And if there's anyone here tonight who's saying that, who's saying, and maybe it's someone who's walked away. They've walked away and tonight they just happen to come. And they're hearing, maybe I've kind of been just kind of doing my own thing all this time, but I'm ready to start walking and living for Jesus. Or maybe this is the first time you're hearing who Jesus actually is. He's the one that died on the cross for you, desires a deep relationship with you. And maybe that's you tonight, and you just happen to come. We're glad you're here. If you would love to receive Jesus tonight, if you want to receive Jesus tonight, would you just raise your hand right now? If you're sensing coming back to Jesus tonight, would you raise your hand right now? I see the hands in the front. All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray tonight. We're all going to pray together. And those that raise their hand, I want you to go another level. And there's this prayer tent back here, and they would love to pray with you and give you the next steps. But would you just pray with me tonight? Lord Jesus, so thankful for what you've done in this place, for the way that you so love us. And Lord, I know that you are doing heart work tonight. Lord, you are calling people to follow after you. And maybe tonight, someone for the first time is giving their life to you. And this is something that you rejoice in. This is something we rejoice in. Lord, we celebrate this moment of someone giving their lives to you. And I believe, here's the thing, that not only will their lives now eternally change, but their life here and now, tomorrow, will be different, will look different, Lord, as they give their lives to you. And so, Lord, tonight we thank you. We celebrate for those hands that were raised. Lord, we ask that you would just do a work on their hearts. And Lord, we're thankful that you call us to abide in you, to walk with you, to be led by you. And then, Lord, there's the reality. It says you take residence inside of us. You live and dwell inside of us. And then you begin to work on us, our hearts and our minds, and we change them. And Lord, thank you for that truth. Lord, would you just be with the rest of our night tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.